Excuse me, not you're based at Tesvov
Yeah.
on base. It's about 10 lines from the bottom. When we do Chazorah, we normally go quite quickly. If I'm going too quickly, then please stop me. But this is not the first time, and it really should not be the second time either. It should be actually the third or the fourth. We should really reiterate the purpose of the shiur, especially because we only learn for 40 minutes. The purpose of the shiur is really for everybody to prepare in advance to see the Gemara, ideally to review it after the shiur as well, such that really when we do Chazorah, that should really be the fourth time. Says the Gemara, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Daf Tes Vav on the base, Ein Donin. The Mishnah said that you'd only judge a Shevet with a Beis Din of 71. Now, what exactly does that mean? So this Gemara should all be familiar to us so we can go quickly. Hai Shevet Dechota B'mai. What does it mean that the Shevet committed an Aveira? What exactly was the Aveira? Ilei Ma Shevet Shechil Ales HaShabbos. If you mean the Shevet transgressed the Shabbos, and therefore you are giving them a different status to a Yochid. A Yochid who is Mechalal Shabbos is judged by a Beis Din of 23. And a shevet is different. Well, why should that be? Ema de poligrachmona. When does the Torah differentiate between yechidim and merubim, between individuals and the masses? That's only le'inyan avodas kechovim. But the shaar mitzvahs mi polig. Who says that with regard to other mitzvahs like chilul Shabbos, we differentiate between the yochid transgressing and the rabbim transgressing? Hello, b'shevet shehudach. It must be a shevet shehudach that was criticized. There were like an ir hanidachas, a shevet that's found to be over avodah zarah. So one second, the memra that you're trying to tell me the bedinim, the bedina de rabbim dainin on lay. Are you trying to tell me therefore that the shevet that is over avodah zarah gets the status they are judged like a rabbim? Surely, keman, who would that fit in with? Loika Rabbi Ashiya. V'loika Rabbi Yonasan doesn't seem to fit in with any opinion. Why not? D'tanya, ad kamo isin irani dachas, either miyud va'ad kuf, it would need to be a town of 10 to 100, divar Rabbi Ashiya, Rabbi Yonasan name amikuf, va'ad ruboy shol shevet, but not the whole shevet. The whole shevet would not constitute an irani dachas. An irani dachas has to be either this number from 10 to 100 or 100 to a rove of a shevet. But Va'afilu Rabbi Yonasan, even Rabbi Yonasan, who gives the larger number, Loi Komar Ero Ruboy. He also admits that it would only apply to a rove of a shevet. Kuloi Loi. Not a whole shevet. The whole shevet does not get the status of irani dachas. So what exactly is this case that we're talking about when we're talking about a shevet who gets judged? Omer of Masna on the bottom line, Hocha benosi shevet shechota askinon. When it says the word shevet, it doesn't actually mean that the shevet, the entire tribe, are being over an avera, but it's the nosi of the shevet. And that's why we're calling it the shevet, because he's the representative of the shevet. Now, why is he getting special status? Milo Yomar Rav Ada Ba'ava, didn't Rav Ada Ba'ava once explain to us? It says, Kol Hadovor Hagodoil Yoviu Elecho, quote unquote, which we translate, it doesn't mean the great matter, but rather Dvorov Shel Godoil. It is the matter of a great person. We'll see this later on in the Gemara in another context. And therefore, Hai Nami, this Nosi certainly is also considered a Godoil who, and therefore he has special status, not because the matter is great, because it's the matter of a great person. And therefore, when it says shevet in the Mishnah, it doesn't mean that the shevet are over an avera. Rather, it's the representative, it's the nosi of the shevet who is over an avera. He has special status and he has to be judged not as a yochid with a bezin of 23, but with a bezin of 71. That is the first teretz. Ula Omar, this is now the second teretz. Omar Rebbe Elazar, beboin al iske nachalois. When it says shevet, it means something that pertains to the shevet. What is it that applies to the shevet when they're coming to judge on matters of inheritance? Uketchiloso shel Eretz Yisrael. And just like when Eretz Yisrael was initially distributed, and it was done so with 71, Ma tchiloso shivim ve'echod. Just like when in Eretz Yisrael was initially cut up and divided, it was done so with 71. Afkan, so too forevermore, shivim ve'echod as well. So if ever there arises a dispute about a particular piece of land, which shevet does it belong to? We're not talking about a shevet being over an avera. Rather, we're talking about matters that pertain to the shevet, i.e. iske nachalois. And just like they were initially distributed with 71, that remains the halacha forevermore. Says the Gemara, one moment. Ima tchilasa, if you're going to compare it to the very first time it was distributed, it was done so kalpi. It was done with a type of hagrola, with a lottery. And also it was done v'urim v'tumim. And it was done v'chol Yisrael, everybody together. So if you're going to really compare it to that, is that the way you've got to split up Eretz Yisrael in the future as well? Whenever a question arises in the issue of nachalos, are you going to say, afkan, you've got to have kalpi and urim v'tumim, v'chol Yisrael? If you really are going to compare it forevermore to the initial dividing up of Eretz Yisrael, well, then you've got to take that comparison lock, stock, and barrel. And we don't do so. So why should we do so only with regard to the halacha of 71? Elo machvarta kudur of masna. You're quite right. We must therefore go back to the first teretz. The Mishnah cannot mean nachalos. There's no reason to require 71. If you're going to require 71, then quite frankly, you should require Urim v'tumim and kalfi, and we don't do that. So therefore, the only remaining teretz is the first one. We're talking about judging a shevet. Not a shevet, but the nosi of the shevet. Ravina Omar, no. Ravina says, I think we can go back to the very first teretz, which we initially rejected. And we can say, La'olam b'shevet shehudach. Really, we are talking about a shevet that was made as a shevet hanidachas, as it were. What was the question? Uda kokashi aloch, that which you had a question, bedino de rabbim daininon lei. Do we really give them din of the rabbim? I thought that's only if it's between 10 and 100, or roiv of a shevet. So I can answer that question. N, yes. Afal gav de koklinon beyochid, but nonetheless, beidina de rabbim de dinen loy. Even though we give him the death penalty of a yochid, we do not give the death penalty of a shevet. When a shevet is tried en masse, then they get skila. So therefore, if we're talking about, for example, an ir hanidachas, so they will get, there's always two questions, as we mentioned last time. There's the question of which death penalty. Is it the death penalty of a yochid or the death penalty of a rabbim? Question number one. Question number two is, what size bezdin? Is it the bezdin of a yochid, meaning 23, or the bezdin of a rabbim, 71? That which we said, says Ravina, that a rabbim is only from 10 to 100, or roiv of a shevet, that's with regard to which particular death penalty. So it will be upgraded from a sayef to other punishments. But that's not what we're talking about over here. We are not discussing which particular death penalty the shevet should get. Rather, we're only discussing the size of the bezdin. And these numbers that we gave before, between 10 and 100, or roiv of a shevet, that's only with regard to which particular death penalty. That's not what we're discussing. What are we discussing? The size of the bezdin. And if it's an entire shevet which is being judged, then indeed we need the bezdin of 71. Why? Says the Gemara, Mi loy omar Rav Chama bar Rav Yosi omar Rav Oshia. Did Rav Oshia not say, V'hoitseiso es ha'ish ha'hu o es ha'isho ha'hi? The Torah says, you take out this man, you take out this woman, which we make a drosha, ish v'ishra tamoitzir sha'orecha. A man or a woman you can take to your gates. Remember, what is at your gates? Your local town's bezdin of 23. That's only if it's an individual. But v'iyah tamoitzi kol ha'ir kula. But you would never take the entire city l'sha'orecha. So too, neither would you take out the entire shevet. You can take to the local Beis Din individuals, but the iatamaitze kol hashevet kuloi lishorecha. Therefore, we have to be very careful. We're only discussing in our Mishnah the size of the Beis Din. We have a special drasha in the pasuk which teaches us the local Beis Din, meaning 23, can only be used for a yochid, not for an ear, not for a shevet. Says the Gemara, loy es novi hasheker, a false prophet, also has to be judged, even though technically he's obviously an individual, but he has special status and he has to be tried by a Bezdin of 71, says the Gemara Mino Hanemili. How do you know? Omar Rav Yosi bar Chanina. Asya, we have a drosha, Hazoda Mizokin Mamre. A Zokin Mamre is somebody who rebels against the Bezdin, and he definitely needs 71. So too, Mala Halon Beshivin Ve'echot. Just like the Zokin Mamre requires a Bezdin of 71, if we have a Gzeir Shova to compare him to the Novi Sheker, so Afkan B'Shivim Ve'echot. Says the Gemara, one moment. V'ho Hazoda, when it says the word Hazoda regarding a Zokin Mamre, Ki K'siva is talking about the K'tola Huda K'siva. It's talking about the death sentence, not the trial of the Bezdin. The Katala Be'eshim V'Sloisahu, and the Zokein Mamre is actually killed by a Bezdin of 23. He's tried by a Bezdin of 71, but the death sentence is Paskin by a Bezdin of 23. So what is it help to tell me that we have a Gezeira Shava comparing a Novi Sheker to the Zokein Mamre because it says the word Hazoda with regard to both? But that word hazoda is not in the context of the trial of the Bezdin, but rather the death sentence, which is 23. So if you follow the Gezeira Shava to its conclusion, the Chayri should say that a Novi Sheker also needs 23 for the death sentence. Says the Gemari, right, let's make a different drasha. Elo Omer Eshlokish, on the last narrow line, Gomar Dovor Mehamro Osei. I learn a Gzeira Shava, a different Gzeira Shava, not the one that looks at the death penalty, the one that looks at the Hamra Osoy, at the actual rebellion. Ulahadir Zokein Mamre, Veligmar Hazoda Minovi Sheker. If that's the case, says the Gemara, you're suggesting, you're telling me you have a Gzeira Shava, not Hazoda, as we initially suggested, but rather a new Gzeira Shava called Dovor. Well, one moment. Why don't we now send this back? Why don't we make another Gzeira Shava called Hazoda, to learn from Novi Sheker back to Zokein Mamre, to be taught that I need a 71 Bezdin for both stages, for every stage of a Zokin Mamre? Says the Gemara, no. We rejected the first Gzeira Shava. Dovor Gomir, but Hazoda Loi Gomir. Remember, you cannot just make up your own Gzeira Shava. If your Rebbeim said the Gzeira Shava exists, then it exists. Which means, in the final analysis, there is only one Gzeira Shava. Not Hazoda, rather Dovor. And that teaches us that just as a Zokin Mamre requires 71, so too a Novi Sheker also requires 71. The Loyes Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol also requires a trial of 71. Mino Hanamili. Once again, the question must be asked. Omer Avada Ba'ava Da Omar Kro, this is the pasuk we quoted at the beginning of the Omer. Kol Hadovor Hagodol Yoviu Elecho, quote unquote. Now the literal translation is the great matter, but we understand it to mean Devarov Shel Gadol, the matter of a great person is no greater than the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he requires a 71-man Bezdin. Remember, what exactly is the drasha? It says in the pasuk, any great matter should come to me. Who's me? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has the equivalent status of 71. Says the Gemara Meisvei, Dovar Gadol, Dovar kosher. We must distinguish between when the Torah writes a great matter or a difficult matter. What exactly was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu? A great matter, a dovah godoil, which means, therefore it requires 71, or only a dovah kosher? So the Gemara says, Ata oimer dovah kosher, oi einoi elo dvorov shel godoil. Maybe the only thing that needs to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu is the matter of a great person, but not a difficult question. Keshuhu oimer es hadovah hakosher, Yevion or Moshe. I have an explicit pasuk that says you've got to bring the kosher, the difficult matters, to Moshe Rabbeinu. So hare dova kosher omor. So the dova kosher has clearly been stated. If that's the case, what is the Torah discussing over here? It would seem to be that the Torah is really discussing a dova kosher. Which particular matter must be brought before Moshe Rabbeinu? Until this point, we were assuming a dova godel, which we understood meant the matter of a great person. The Gemara is querying that. How do you know? Maybe it's just a dova kosher. After all, the Torah does clearly spell out the dova kosher, which means not necessarily the matter of a great person. It could be a very simple person, but with a very difficult question. So how do you know that the word dova godel means a great person? Maybe it just means a great case, meaning a very difficult shaila. Says the Gemara, no. Hu da'amar ki hai tana. We're following the following, that we're going after the following tana. Tanya dova godoil, which means devarav shel godoil. It is the matter of a great person. How do you know that to be the case? Ata oimer devarav shel godoil. Maybe it doesn't mean the matter of a great person. It means a difficult case. It can't be. What the Torah spells out the difficult case. So Hari Dova Kosher Omor. So what do I do with the second pasuk now? If the Torah has already spelled out the Dova Kosher, what does the Torah mean now when it now spells out something else called the Dova Godel? So it must be Dovar Godel means Dvarov Shel Godel. So therefore, this second Tana explains to us that there are two different shailas that were brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. Either a Dovar Kosher, a very difficult question, or Dovar Godel, which we're understanding means a Dvarov Shel Godel, as opposed to the first opinion, who for some reason understood that both Dovo kosher and also Dovo godoil all meant the same thing. And that's really the Gemara's question. V'hai tana trei koi lomo li. Why would I need the same pasuk? The one who said that Dovo godoil means a Dovo kosher. So why is the Torah telling me the same thing twice? According to us, it's very good, because the Torah is telling me two different halachas. Halacha number one, that the difficult case has to be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. And halacha number two is the great case, meaning the case of a great person. But according to the first opinion, both Dovah Kosher and Dovah Godoil all meant the same thing. So why is the Torah spelling out the same thing twice? As the Gemara, chad letzavo'o ba'alma v'chad la'asiya. It's not exactly the same thing. One is for the instruction and one is for the carrying out. What does that mean, chad letzavo'o? How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef? Chad letzavo'o.
Want to serve as a command.
It's the command. It sounds like the Beis Din have to issue. Okay, how do they explain that in greater detail?
One verse to serve as the command, and one verse to relate that the command was in fact carried out. So that's how you translate it.
Right. In other words, Yisroel commanded that this is the way the Beis Din should be set up. And then the Torah says, in fact, yes, that's actually what happened. So it's not two different halachas, it's just two different parts of the story. Yisroel comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, recommends you should change the whole system. And therefore he says, there's an instruction to say this is what you shall do. And then it was actually carried out. Now, obviously, that's very difficult to understand. Because if that's the case, why does the Torah change the terminology? Says the Gemara, if that's the case, im kein, lichtoiv, why doesn't it write either godoil, godoil, or kosher, kosher? Use the same word twice if it's referring to the same thing. My godoil, umay kosher, so it must mean shma mino parity. So therefore, we can reach our final conclusion. There really are two separate, unrelated halachas. Moshe Rabbeinu, i.e. a Bezin of 71, has to judge over a difficult case and also over a case of a great person. A Kohen Gadol, therefore, is a great person, and that's how we know a Kohen Gadol has to have 71 on the Beis Din. Says the Gemara, Boi Rabbi Elazar, Shoiroi shel Kohen Gadol bekamo. You'll remember in the previous sugya we learned that when a Shoir kills, then it requires a Beis Din of 23. Why should that be? So we had a special drasha that we compare the shoir to its owner. Kemisas habaylim, kach misas hashoir. Just like the owner requires 23 men on the bezin if ever he were to be killed, so too the shoir. So the question is, what about a shoir of a Kohen Gadol? If a Kohen Gadol needs 71, so maybe his shoir does also. Says the Gemara, boy Rav Elazar, shoir shel Kohen Gadol bekamo. Lemisas baylim didei. Underline medaminon le. Would I compare it to the death sentence of its particular owner? Or maybe to a general ownership. So do you say that a shoyer always needs 23 because the general average standard normal case is 23? Or no, maybe you've got to look at every particular shoyer at who its own owner is. And if the owner of this particular share is a Kohen Gadol, then maybe it'll require 71. So the Gemara says, Omar Abaya, midakomi boyalei shoiroi. The very fact that you're posing the question about the ox of the Kohen Gadol would seem to indicate, michlal, de mamoinai pshitale. It sounds like if you were judging the momoin of a Kohen Gadol, what does it mean, the momoin of a Kohen Gadol? Until now, we've been talking about when the Kohen Gadol is up for trial for a death penalty. But what happens if the Kohen Gadol is up for trial, not for a death penalty? It's just a financial case. Somebody claims a lawsuit against a Kohen Gadol. How many dayonim would you need for that? Now, the Gemara never posed that. The only thing we posed was, what about the shoyer? So the Gemara says, the very fact that you're posing the question about the shoyer would seem to indicate that when you're dealing with momoin, money, of a Kohen Gadol, then there's no question at all. Then apparently it's poshut to you that you would not require 71. Why is that? So he says, yes, pshita. Ma'u de tema hoyel v'kosav kol ha'dovar ha'godol, kol dvorov shel gadol. If the Torah says every matter pertaining to a great person would need 71, so then in theory, one could speculate that a matter of a great person means whether you're dealing with a life death sentence or whether you're dealing with his financial issues. Maybe you always need 71, says the Gemara, komash malon, that no. That's why I'm teaching you that no, with regard to financial matters, that's not what we're talking about. The only case you need 71 is when the Kohen Gadol stands for trial for a death penalty. If so, that's why we compose the question, what about when the shoyer of a Kohen Gadol is standing for death penalty? Were it to be a general rule that anything to do with a Kohen Gadol needs 71, well, that would include everything. Whether you're dealing with his momoin, whether you're dealing with his shoyer, whether you're dealing with a death sentence, anything, whenever a Kohen Gadol is brought to court or anything to do with him, he needs 71. Says the Gemara, that's not a general rule. It's not a general rule. Really, the rule is stated only with regard to the death sentence of a Kohen Gadol. If he's up in court for some financial lawsuit, you do not need 71. Therefore, the only remaining question is, what about his shoyer? When the shoyer is up in court because he's gored and killed and needs to therefore be in turn killed, do we compare the shoyer of the Kohen Gadol to the Kohen Gadol himself? And that would require 71. And that shaila remains now unresolved.
Does that imply that in a stam moment case, it would be a court of three for the Kohen Gadol?
Correct. Correct. 100%. And that's what the Gemara is saying. I might have thought that once the Kohen Gadol is getting special status, so maybe you get special status on all fronts, death penalty, financial lawsuits. No. With regard to Mammon, he's treated like everybody else. But with regard to a death penalty, then he's got special status. And now I can legitimately pose the question, what happens when his shoyr is up for death sentence? Do I compare the shoyr to a general owner or to his specific owner? And the Gemara does not resolve that. Okay, says the Gemara, Ein Moitzin. What is the Mishnah saying? Ein Moitzin, following the case of the Novi Sheker, following the case of the Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah then said, you do not take Klal Yisrael to war unless there's a Psak of a Bezdin 71. Mino Anamili. Once again, the question is asked, how do we know that to be the case? Omar Rabavo, Doma Krop. So, the Melech, Klal Yisrael, the Moshuach Milchomo, remember that's the Kohen Gadol who's specifically in charge of affairs to do with the Kohen Gadol, and it would seem to be V'chol Ho'edo. We have a pasuk in the Torah, and the words V'chol Ho'edo we're using to mean the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin means 71. Says the Gemara, how do I know that to be the case? V'dilma the Sanhedrin who dekama lehu rachmana de l'shayli bu'urim v'tumim. Maybe the reason why the Sanhedrin are required is not take them out to war, but rather just to consult the Urim V'Tumim. Maybe you don't consult the Urim V'Tumim, any individual. Maybe that needs a 71 Bezdin. Elo, rather, this is now the source. It's a whole story. There was a harp that was suspended above the bed of David HaMelech, Kim Shegia Chatzos HaLailo. Once it got to midnight, Ruach Tzafoinis Menasheves Boi. A northerly wind would blow into it, and it would play by itself, as it were, and that was David HaMelech's alarm clock. David HaMelech from Chatzai Salayla would immediately get up and be Oisik Batoira ad she'ola amud ha'shachar. Kiven she'ola amud ha'shachar, nichmesu chachmi Yisrael etzlo. The great wise ones of Klal Yisrael would come to David HaMelech and they would say to him, Omru loy, Adoineinu HaMelech, our master, the king, Amcho Yisrael tzrichin aparnasa. Your nation, Klal Yisrael, are in desperate need of sustenance. Omer lahen lechu v'hisparnus uzeh mizeh. Why can't they help each other? Omer lo, no. Ein ha-koymetz masbi'ai sawari v'ein ha-boyim mismalim l'chul yaseh. There simply is not enough to go around. Okay, so we're going to have to wage war, maybe plunder it in battle. Omer lahu lechu pishtu yedeichem b'gedud. So spread out your hands in troops, meaning go to war. Miyad yoyatzin ba'achitoyfel. They would seek advice from Achitoyfel v'nimlochim b'Sanhedrin. They would consult the Sanhedrin v'shoyalim b'urim v'tumim, and they would ask the Sanhedrin and the urim v'tumim, how do I know that to be the case? On Rav Yosef Maikro, ba'acharei Achitoyfel ben Yoyahu ben Yoyodo ve'ev Yoso v'sar tzova l'melech Yoyod. Achitoyfel ze Yoyetz. So Achitoyfel is the one who gave the advice. V'cheinu oimer, because it says elsewhere, v'atzas Achitoyfel asher yahu. U'ben Yoyahu ben Yoyodo zu Sanhedrin. Ben Yoyahu ben Yoyodo is a reference to the Sanhedrin, and here you see that when they went to war, they had to consult with the Sanhedrin. Ev yosa eilu urim v'tumim. V'cheinu oimer u'ben Yoyahu ben Yoyodo ala kreisi v'ala pleisi. Why is it called that? V'lomo nikra shmon kreisi or pleisi. Why is the Urim V'Tumim called kreisi or pleisi? She'koyrsin divrayim. They cut. What does it mean they cut their words? It means they paskin their shailas. U'pleisi shemuflo'in ma'aseyan. And their acts are wondrous. It was miraculous the way that the Urim V'Tumim would paskin shailas. V'achakach sar ha'tzvo l'melech yoyav. brother of Adav, Amriam, Rabbi Yitzchak, brother of Dimi, my craw, Uro, Kavoid, Uro, Hanevel, Vachinoir, or Iro Shachat. We have another pasuk that says, Uro Kavoidi. Uro means, Roloshanov, waking up. And what was it that was waking up? The Kinoir, the heart. So either way, we see from this story that 71 man Sanhedrin is needed, not just to consult the Urim and Tumim, but rather to make a psak where the Klal Yisrael should go to war, and that's Pshat in our Mishnah. Yeah, Reb Larry.
Quick question. Is there any thought to say that Hashem decided that Klal Yisrael needed a Milchamas Mitzvah, so therefore he created a lack of money so that David could conclude we need to go to war, but that the Parnassah itself was just an ends to the means, a means could, to the end, rather?
Could very well be. Could well be. Okay, I think we just have a little bit of time. Do one more piece of Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ein Moisifin Al Ha'ir. If ever you wanted to expand the city, which city? Yerushalayim. And as we explained last time, the exact borders of Yerushalayim are very important for us to know because they have enormous halachic consequence with regard to Mesa Sheni and with regard to Karbonos. So if you ever want to change the borders, it's got to be done in the presence of a Bezin of 71. Minoan Emili, Omer of Sini, Bachi, Omer Krol. It says, "Kachoil asher ani mara oischoes tavnis hamishkan." Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu exactly what I'm demonstrating you now, with regard to matters of the Mishkan. V'chein tasu l'doyres haboyim. So you should do for all future generations. So once again, if Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who is initially in charge of the Mishkan and its surroundings, and he's the equivalent of 71, and the Torah clearly says, "V'chein tasu l'doyres haboyim." This is what you should do in all future generations. If ever matters need to be discussed with regard to the Mishkan or Yerushalayim, it's got to be with the Bezin of 71. Says the Gemara, Mosiv Rava, Kol HaKelim, we have a brisa that says, Kol HaKelim Sha'asa Moshe, all the Kelim that Moshe produced, Mashichoson Mekadshom, it was their anointing with the oil that gave them Kedusha, but Mikan Ve'elech Avoidoson Mechanchoson. In the future, if ever Kalim needed to be replaced and rebuilt, what gave them the Kedusha? It was not the sprinkling of the oil, it was their service. Now, why are we changing the halacha? Va'amai, Neymar, why don't we invoke the rule of, quote unquote, V'chein tasu l'doyres haboyim? If we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed exactly how you make the Mishkan now, make it forevermore, well, in the same way as the Mishkan was initially made, and what gave the Kedusha to the Kelim, it was the Shemen. So why in the future does that change? If you're telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly said exactly the way you do it now, do it forever. Says the Gemara, no, there's different. Shani Hossam. There's different because we have a specific pasuk to teach us that things got changed. The Omar Krav Vayim Shechem Vayekadesh Oysom. Underline. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, to the Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mishkan, put the oil on them, and that will sanctify them. It doesn't say Vayekadshom, which would have been the shortened form. It says Vayekadesh Oysom. So we have a drosha. Oysom, the Mashicha. These became sanctified with the Mashicha, Bavaloi, Ledoirois, the Mashicha. But forevermore, in further generations, it was not the Mashicha that did the trick, it was the Avodah. Ve'ema, how do you know? Maybe Oysom, the Mashicha. Maybe it just means that they initially got sanctified with the Mashiach. But Uladoira is you can do whatever you like. Iba Mashiach, Iba Avoida. It's either or. How do you know that forevermore it's only Ba Avoida? Amara Papa Makron Noah says, Asher Yeshar Subam Bakoidesh. What's Sheiros? Sheiros is usage of the Kalim, that's the Avoida. So Hakosuv Tolon Besheiros. You see, the Torah has clearly depended its Kedusha on the Sheiros, on the usage of the Kalim. So one moment. So why do I need the first drosha of Oysom? Elo Oysom, quote unquote, Lomoli. There it says, because Elav Oysom, if not for the first drosha of Oysom, Hava Amina, that Ledoirois, maybe it means the Mashicha Uba Avoida. Maybe for Doirois, not that you need either or, you need both. Because if the Torah spells out that you need Lashores, service, and we know in the times of the Mishkan you needed the Mishcha, so maybe now you need both. And that's why the Torah has to clearly say that Oysom, which you make a drosha, Oysom b'mashicha, v'loi l'doirois b'mashicha. Therefore, I need two droshas. The first drosha tells me that it's Oysom, it was only the Kelim at the time of the Beis HaMikdash that needed Mashiach. And from then onwards, they never, ever, ever needed that whatsoever. Then I have a second drasha which tells me that what? That if the Kelim forevermore did not need Mashiach, so what was it that gave them the Kedusha? And the answer was, it was the Avodah. So either way, with regard to giving Kedusha to the Kelim, that's true. The rules changed. It was initially Shemen, eventually it was the Avodah. But with regard to all other matters of the construction of the Mishkan and Yerushalayim, then the rules do not change. And to the contrary, it says, V'chein ta'asu l'doyreis habo'im. So for just why, just like initially it was done with 71, so too forevermore, it was done with 71 as well. Okay, we will hold it over here. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we will continue on Sunday. I don't think we'll quite finish on Sunday, but the Mitzvah Hashem, maybe Monday, and then we're going to move on to the second parak. I'd like to again emphasize the purpose of the shir for everybody involved, myself included, is to prepare in advance. It's to prepare in advance. That way there'll be more to Elis of the shir. Okay, be well, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.